All right, welcome back to the Beast Game Podcast. This is a review for War for the Planet of the Apes. It's directed by Matt Reeves. It's written by Matt Reeves and Mark Bomback. It stars Andy Serkis as Caesar and Woody Harrelson as the Colonel. The synopsis: after the apes suffer unimaginable losses, Caesar wrestles with his darker instincts and begins his own mystic quest to avenge his kind. So it starts off with some text explaining the previous movies. In the first movie, they were trying to cure a disease. That disease mutated and became the simian flu. It affected humans. It also made apes and monkeys smarter. We go off to a forest, and there's a special forces group trying to hunt Caesar. This time around, the special forces are getting help from other apes. They stumble upon an ape camp and attack, but eventually the special forces are overran by a commanding Caesar. Caesar captures a couple of the prisoners. What they want them to do is just to leave the apes alone. And later on, what happens is that the special forces come back, commanded by Woody Harrelson, and what winds up happening is that they kill Caesar's wife, and that kind of sets off another chain of events, and that's where we'll stop. So Matt, what is your view on War for the Planet of the Apes?
This movie restored my faith in today's movie generation. Felt it was a superb combination of CGI and I want to emphasize, and storytelling. It was very superb, and I really love this movie.
All right, Keith.
Damn good film. The story was excellent. I'm hard-pressed to find anything negative. I had to watch the film a second time to see if there was anything negative. It was the perfect length. Normally, I'm like kind of looking at my phone, watching something like that at some point. I was completely riveted by this movie. I broke the immersion when I had to go to the bathroom. Then when I ran back, something horrible had happened, and I'm just like, God damn it. And I'm glad you guys convinced me to watch the Planet of the Apes movies and stuff. Superb acting. Andy Serkis, he deserves an Oscar for his performance. The CG in this movie, for the longest time, I didn't think that the apes were CG. They were perfect. I can't
think of anything. They were flawless.
It was absolutely flawless. There were moments where there was no dialogue at all. When Maurice kind of made a connection with the little girl, just as they picked him up. And there were moments between Caesar, the way he was acting, and how Andy Serkis, he would turn and look at the little girl. You saw all the emotions that was going through that character's mind at that moment. And every character was spot on perfect. Every actor just hit every line. The director was perfect. The cinematography was amazing. And this is a damn good film.
All right, so I had made a comment on an unaired podcast that this might be the first movie that I may give a 10, just because of how much I like the second movie, which I think is a perfect movie. So even though I really liked this movie, it was a little disappointing for me. It's mainly the writing for me and the screenplay. They play off of a lot of ideas that are touched on in several other movies. What I was expecting based off of the second movie was Black Hawk Down or Saving Private Ryan, and the war that we got was pretty small scale. The movie needed Koba, because Koba is an equal to Caesar, and Woody Harrelson's character maybe is not that equal. The movie starts off fine. I like a lot of the concepts that it tried to touch on, but I think some of the execution is not as good as it could have been in order for this movie to have a 10 attached to it. The CG is fine. Andy Serkis is great. Woody Harrelson's character, it's okay. There was a lot of times that when I was looking at the CG, it is like looking at natural animals. The motion capture, the mouth movements, the way that the characters move seem realistic. There's always that uncanny valley feeling in a movie. This one just does away with that concept. I get what the writers were trying to do. There's a lot of symbolism. There's a lot of religious iconography with Caesar and how Caesar is supposed to be sacrificing himself for the greater good of his people. I just feel that this movie could have done better. The writing depends on a lot of basic movie tropes, and I can touch on some of those later. because the movie started out fine and kind of somewhere towards the middle of the movie where it starts to become a Steven Spielberg movie. I started having some issues with that. And again, I like the movie. Well, the introduction of the little girl.
Nova?
Yeah, is when it started to become a Steven Spielberg movie.
Dude, that's when the movie took on a whole different...
I'm just saying, I didn't like
Okay, go ahead. Please, continue thought so.
I just believe that she was kind of pointless and that the movie could have done the same job without her character. And what we kind of get is a combination of Roots and The Great Escape. Does anyone agree?
Yes. So. Yep. I agree with that. The last part, the other stuff, we'll have to discuss that a little bit. And the scale of the war itself, for me, I watched Rise on Wednesday, Dawn on Thursday, and this movie on Friday. The first two movies were fresh in my mind, especially Dawn. This is their home, their permanent residence. This is where they were going to build their community. And it was only a few hundred apes. The humans, they only had half a battalion. It was going to be small scale in that regard. It's very contained, but it was no less, you know, it was definitely a war in that regard. But as for the little girl, I mean, oh, come on. She was kind of the redemption of the humans. The first two movies, you only have one human who kind of redeemed the whole species. She was the one who wrapped it up, who redeemed them from all. She was at one point vulnerable. At the other point, she was useful. And at the other point, she bridged the gap between these movies and the original Planet of the Apes. So she was absolutely vital, I think.
If anything, she might have served as like a bridge between the apes and the humans.
Well, because that second movie did have that, as Keith described. And I think that was better done and better served in that movie.
She was like the humans in the original Planet of the Apes movie, where they regressed back to unable to speak, didn't have their higher brain functions to reason out properly. But she began to act more like apes, not bestial or jumping around, scratching armpits and stuff, embracing that philosophy, you know, working together, family is everything. Same time Caesar looked at her, he saw that he was becoming as terrible as the humans.
I really did not feel like that. I agreed to some extent.
It was that one scene they were just riding the horses from the beach to wherever. And
yeah, it becomes kind of a Western.
So that's the, kind of the revenge plot that kind of kicks in. He's out for vengeance, and he's feeling all that hate inside of him, and he's just going with it. And the little girl pops up every time he sees her and them interacting with her. He's just looking at her like, why did I do that? She's not bad. She's not a bad person. Like, how can I hate everything? And there was no judgment from anybody towards him. When we get to the third act, she's one of them. There was no question about her running down there to do that anyway. Her life was with those apes now, and I see your point about the Steven Spielberg moment, but this is like Steven Spielberg when he was 100% on point.
I agree to some extent.
I'm going to call it Matt Reeves. Like Matt Reeves did a Steven Spielberg better than Steven Spielberg did it.
So I have two questions. The first question is, how did everyone feel about Woody Harrelson's character?
From the original teaser trailer, I thought it was going to be awesome. Then the subsequent trailers, when he kind of like, it's too personal. I was thinking he was going to be a cartoon villain. But that conversation between him and Caesar, like, I understood his character completely at that point. And he wasn't evil. He was just, he was insane. The world was completely jacked. And he took the guilt that he had, and he just turned it into something like, this is a holy mission for me. This is the way things were, and this is the only way I can justify it.
Matt.
I think the one thing I liked about this movie is that you could see it from both sides and feel sympathetic to one or the other, where other movies it's like so one-sided. So, I mean, even though I understood Woody Harrelson's character and why he was justified doing what he was doing from his point of view, he did a great job, and if they were to cast him anyone else but him, I don't think they would have got it right, not like him.
Well, I liked his character probably up until the middle part of the movie. And I think Gary Oldman was a better antagonist in the second movie. And what happens to Woody Harrelson's character is the easy way out. And I did not like that.
I can see your point in that. But what I saw it was that the humans were doomed from the get-go. When his end came, it served more for Caesar than it did for him. At the same time, his character kind of stayed true to what it was. The Hollywood way to do it would have been for some big fight scene. Man versus Ape or something like that. But in this case,
some Michael Bay type stuff.
Pretty much. And in this case, it wasn't that at all. It was like, it was pure chaos going down. And the first casualty of that chaos was him. He was in it by the very thing that he feared the most.
All right. So my next question is, this is one of the issues I have with the movie, but how did everyone feel about the bad ape?
I thought he was hilarious.
I thought he was a bad ape. I think another thing that I liked about this movie is typically when movies try to introduce new characters, they get it wrong, especially when it comes to characters who have a little bit of humor to them, because it's like, all right, he's funny, but what the hell is his purpose? For example, Jar Jar Binks.
That's kind of how I felt about the bad ape character.
However, really? I mean, he did serve a purpose. As far as giving direction to the group, none of it felt forced. Oh, he's a guy. They keep throwing him in there. Jar Jar Binks, I don't like this guy. He was funny. He did provide comic relief, and he interacted with characters well. You felt that he had been an interest in, other than, like, he just had to do it.
Well, I think the role of his character was to show someone that is shell-shocked, if you take this as being a war movie, that Bad Ape, Rain Man is shell-shocked, and everyone else is just looking at him, wow, that's terrible.
His shell shock was completely different. So his story was that he was in a zoo, and humans got sick, so the simian flu spread to him. So basically his character explained how the apes became the dominant species on the planet. With no one to talk to.
I understand that. So a lot of my problems with the movie deals with the script. And this aspect of the script where you have this hermit character that is somewhat off happens in a lot of movies. And it is a problem in this movie, at least for me. A run-of-the-mill script idea.
He was well thought out, because going into War of the Planet of the Apes, you thought that Caesar and his colony of apes were not the originators or the progenitors of the intelligent apes. The simian flu affected the apes differently. And you had this one who's a bad ape, kind of survived by himself alone. He's got enough knowledge because of his scavenging and everything that he's able to point them in the right direction. So, I mean, all hands, he was a useful and thought out character.
I agree with Keith.
So let's go to scores. And Matt, what score would you give this movie?
I would give this movie a 9. I felt the pacing was perfect. The development of characters with an invested story plot was very good, especially considering all the crappy movies that have come out lately. Amazing trilogy and set the bar even higher for what I hope will be a good summer.
All right, Keith.
This is close to being a 10 for me. Any movie that can tell a story with zero dialogue when they confront a winner, dead silence in the theater. I was just thunderstruck. The scenes where they were just riding with that little girl and they were traveling, and it was a well-told story. And the CGI, the cinematography, this is as close to 10 as I can get it, but it's not perfect. Definitely like negatives in here, but I'd be hard-pressed to find them, so I'd give this a 9.5.
Okay, that is a pretty high score. So,
that's real.
I'm just going to start off with my score first. I'm going to give this movie an 8. I really like the second movie. That second movie is awesome. And that is a 10 movie to me. This movie, I liked a lot of the ideas, but I feel that the execution, as far as the writing goes, because it's not the same writing team, there's one person that is missing off of this team, and I feel like she contributed more to the story. This story has some elements that it clearly pull from other movies. Again, like I said, The Great Escape, there's a Kunta Kinte scene. I just feel that some of that stuff did not need to be in the movie, and that where the movie could have gone from the second movie had so much potential, but again, I gave it an 8. So I'm not saying it's a bad movie. I'm just saying I expected more. And that's the Beast Game Podcast. You can find more of our podcasts at beastgame.com, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, Twitter, and YouTube.